Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sick.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No.
Oh, I don't care.
Don't remotely care. No.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, March the 28th. You bunch of lowlifers. Hope you're all doing well out there. And if you're wondering why you just got called a lowlifer, if you just happen to click on this for some crazy reason, that is what the listeners of this program refer to themselves as. And I am proud to know, I feel like I know so many of you. All you lowlifers out there, and I'm proud you join me week after week after week. And this is Low Budget Live. Here we go. Here we go. Recording a little bit early. Got the Bassmaster open at Lake Cherokee next week. Got a good one for you today, though. Last week, recorded a little early because I was down at Gros Savon with the boys. And I gotta say real quick, huge thank you to Doug Miller and Gros Savon for having us down. It was a trip that we will never, for me as a dad, it's certainly a trip I'll never forget. Fantastic. Probably caught, I don't know, man, over a couple hundred bass in 2 days, something just insane. Probably more, honestly, if we're just, it's crazy. I haven't gone through the footage yet of everything we filmed, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. We're going to be lots of videos coming out from down there. My man Ryder got his PB, and we just had a good old time catching them on all kind of different things down there. And got to see my old buddy Dennis TJ. Spent some time in the boat with both Doug and Dennis. Got to see a crawfish farm operation. It was cool. It was cool. Lots of good stuff down there in Gros Savon. So look those folks up. They are it's a bucket list trip that you need to take at some point if you love bass fish. You don't have to go to Mexico to catch all the bass that you need to catch to get it out of your system. You can go down there south of Lake Charles, Louisiana, as the band said. And you can go up on Cripple Creek down there, Gros Savon, and get you some bass in the boat. But it was fantastic, man. I'll be posting a lot of pictures and videos very soon from it. All right, Gros Savon. So I want to thank some other folks real quick, and then we're going to jump into our guests, man. We've got two guests today, super pumped about it. First, I want to say huge thanks to StarTron, Starbright, kicking ethanol in the teeth with right here with this ethanol enzyme fuel treatment. A little dab will do you in your tank. It's going to knock it out in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, in that side-by-side. If you go to store your boat for longer than 3 weeks, ethanol, man, it'll screw you up. Gas is crazy high. So don't be buying that ethanol-free fuel that's even higher than what's out there on that old regular gas, right? Drop some freaking Startron. I almost said ethanol. Again. Drop some Startron in your tank. Nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run. Also, Startron got my mug in a commercial. Y'all can see that during the Elite Series. It was broadcast on FSN during the Classic. But me and my man, Tanner Lyon, shot that. Not Travis's brother. But Tanner Wright, we filmed that up here. It's really cool. Proud to be a part of that. So check that out. Let me know if you see it. But Startron, star bright. Back on the show. Pro Guide Batteries. Pro Guide Batteries, and they never really went anywhere, but Pro Guide Batteries back in that Express, back, they never went anywhere in the Express either, but back on the show, supporting Low Budget Live again for this year. Super excited about that. Their new lithiums, I cannot wait to get up there and burn them down at Cherokee. You won't run them out of juice, I promise you that. I use the AGM cranking battery, the 31 series, and I'm running their new lithiums as well on my trolling motor side. You can use code LBL10 at Pro Guide Batteries. Let them know you're a low lifer. So many of y'all did that last year. If you're rigging boats this time of year, give them a holler. Baitworks, they're at the Red Crest right now with a 40x40 booth, slanging that tackle, working on something very, very special for all the lowlifers with Baitworks right now. But I can't even begin to talk about it, and I'm so geeked up about it. More details to come, but Baitworks, man, if you don't want it, don't order it from them because they're going to get it to your house. So many of y'all complain about a lot of tackle retailers out there being a little slow right now, and it's hard for them to get things, and shipping's crazy. But Baitworks, man, they're doing an incredible job. You can use code Duncan-10 to let them know you're a low lifer. So many things in stock, more things coming in every day. They just continue to grow, and I'm super pumped to be partnered with Baitworks. We're working on a lot of things right now. So Duncan-10, bait-works.com. And last but not least, hang the banner. Express Boats. I say it after every day that I get to spend in it. I love the boat so much that it's obnoxious, really, because most people think, oh, you're sponsored or you're this and that. I truly love my freaking boat. Like, I enjoy going fishing more because of my boat. I love the flooring. I love how shallow I can get. I love the Yamaha on the back. I love how the boat performs. And, man, we spent two solid days, daylight to dark, burn those Duncan boys down in that X21 down there in Gros Savoye, and fish four people. Dennis, TJ in the boat with me one day, Doug Miller, three of us on the front deck at times, pitching, flipping, and man, like, it just blows my mind how stable it is. You don't even really realize there are that many people in the boat. Tons of room. That front deck is huge. So huge shout out to Express for bringing you Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus, the official boat of the Traveling Circus, and building excitement since 1966. All right, we're going to get into it. Here we go. Our first guest, try to find his number here. Our first guest today is a guy I think a lot of. I know y'all hear me say that a lot, but I do. There are good people in this sport. He's a guy I think a lot of, been knowing him for a couple years now, and he made a splash. He won the Bassmaster Elite Series Rookie of the Year back in 2019. He just wrapped up his first win. I know he's doing every podcast under the sun, but I was not going to not talk to my man, ladies and gentlemen, winner of the latest Elite Series there, San T. Cooper, Mr. Drew Cook.
Hello.
What's up, Drew Cook? How are you?
Pretty good, Luke Duncan. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. You sitting around somewhere shining that blue trophy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think that I would just take it with me to like Piggly Wiggly and just everywhere. I would never be separated from that blue trophy, especially in the dramatic fashion that you won that Joker.
It would be a lot easier to tote it around if it didn't weigh like 50 pounds.
Are they that heavy? Because I've never got the hoist one over my head, obviously. And so it's heavy.
It is. It's and I will tell you this. It's a lot heavier than Lisa makes it look when she just grabs it off that table and hands it to you.
Well, that's because she's been practicing reps all week with your 30-pound bags that all you guys drug out of Santee Cooper. Well, dude, I want to say congrats. I know we've texted, but publicly, man, I know so many of you guys, and I pull for everybody. I feel like that, you know, that I care about and that I know a little bit. And for me, and I heard you say this, it was such a special win because of the technique. I'm a sight fisherman, and I love it. That's my favorite thing in the world to do. I think you're one of the best that's ever done it. I've watched you time and time again on the Elite Series, and you finally got that perfect storm because we don't get that anymore, do we, in four-day tournaments?
No. No, it seems like that never happens anymore. We always have some type of crazy something happen.
And would you dare say, like, how long has it been since there's been a tournament completely dominated by sight fishing, wire to wire? Like, dude, it's been a long time, I feel like.
I think that one of the last ones that was one completely, you know, sight fishing might have been, you know, 2006 whenever they, I mean, there was like two or three of them.
Preston, was that the year Preston won down there? Preston Clark at Santee?
Preston won there. Ish won at Amistad.
That's right.
And there was one more.
There was a Harris Chain one in there around there somewhere that Shaw Grigsby won sight fishing.
Yep.
That was in that time frame.
So like, but since then, like, I mean, I know there has been a couple of them. I think Prosnick might have won on Toledo Bend or something like that.
Maybe, yeah. He's a big sightfish nut.
But, yeah, it's not like and I think back in those days, you know, like Preston and Shaw and Ish, they were like the only ones that were doing it.
That was my next question is, do you think that is because it's been so widely publicized? Because for years you had Guido Hibden was like a guru at it. The old Bassmaster magazine articles were like Guido and Shaw telling you how to sight fish. And when I was coming up, I had a friend of my dad's, Jerry Lawler, team tournament partner, and he had fished Everstarts and different things, and he used to come home from these tournaments with his teeth kicked in the spring, and he said, son, I'm going to tell you something right now. You better – it's like 12 and 13, you know, year-old years of my life, and he'd say, you better learn to sight fish. If you're ever going to do this, you better learn to sight fish, because they were just kicking his butt. And so I took that to heart so much that in ponds – and, dude, I would skip school when they would be on the bed here when I was a kid. I would – man, it's like Christmas to me. And – and I'm still that way. And then it's like when I got on tour, I was like, well, he was lying because we don't ever get to sight fish.
Yeah.
Or there would be 50 people in the one area you could find betters in. You know what I mean? You couldn't win doing it.
Yeah.
So
I 100% agree.
It's crazy, man. So I was so pumped when I saw where you were going, you guys were going. The timing of it with the moon, and y'all had some crappy weather. Do you think that the crappy weather at the first of practice helped you though? Cause it kind of knocked them back and kept them coming to you during the event.
I think so. But like me and they were talking, the difference in what happened with us than what happened in 2006, whenever those like really, really big bags were caught, you know, 39 pounds and stuff like that. It was cold then too, you know, in practice, but it had been cold, you know, for like a month.
Okay. So
what happened with us was, you know, the week that we were at the Classic, it was 80 degrees in Santee, and they were already some fish spawning.
They were so laying that, around every
that day. Massive first wave got split in half.
Okay.
And that's why I think we didn't see those like monster weights, you know.
That's awesome, man. So does it mean more, though, winning with that technique to you? I mean, a trophy's a trophy. First time is – and this will be the first of many with you because I'm getting to know you. Like, you're an incredible, incredible angler, man, and this is just going to be, you know, the stepping stone to a lot more. But with that technique being your favorite, does that just icing on the cake?
100%.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Absolutely, because I mean, all my buddies from back home, they used to always rag on me and say, oh, you're gonna win one, it's gonna be, you know, a smallmouth tournament with a spinning rod or you know, it's something just completely out of my element. And, you know, to be able to win. And, dude, it was like a freaking, like a perfect week. Like, I checked so many boxes that, you know, it was crazy. I won wire to wire. I got a century belt, you know, and won. So it was like and won sight fishing too, especially because I've heard it more in the last 2 years, but a lot this year, you know, you can't win sight fishing.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. And forbidden to, you know, to almost win the Harris Chain strictly sight fishing.
Yep.
And then for me to win sight fishing, it's like, yeah, you still can, you know?
Yeah. And I know that guys like John Cox on FLW, John is like you guys, he's got X-ray vision, and he has weighed, like when he won at Chickamauga the last year of his tour, 2019, he weighed a lot of fish off the bed. I made the cut that week. I weighed a lot of fish off the bed in that tournament, but it wasn't 100% sight fishing that got him that W, you know? So it's like, this was purely, I don't know, it was old school for me. And I think, and I'm not a hater on like forward facing live scope at all. I love it. I like doing it. But it has changed the face of all tournaments. I feel like you look at Brandon Polinick there, day one, he's out there catching them on forward facing on a freaking jerk bait while you're up there doing your thing. And it's like, this is so crazy to me that these two worlds exist at the same time. And I guess we just never thought about it until we had that technology. And of course, Brandon ended up catching a lot, I think, looking at them during the week as well, like everybody else. But it was so cool for me. And I said this after our NPFL event at Cumberland, one on a spinnerbait. Everybody said it's going to be forward facing, smallmouth, blah, blah, blah. Nope. Dirty water with a big spinnerbait.
Meat and potatoes.
Like, and now you get this win, freaking sight fishing, looking at every one of them, man. Did all of them, I'm intrigued by baits. Okay, and I talk about this a lot because you know pro speak. You grew up following a sport. Everybody tells you their sponsor stuff. Well, this and that, this and that. And, dude, you are a believer in that fighting frog.
Dude.
Like, it's crazy to me.
You have no idea. Yeah. So, before I was ever fishing the opens, whenever I was just fishing local tournaments around here, like, that was the deal.
Okay.
Like, and it was, you know, not very well known, you know, around my house until, you know, we started really catching them on it. And it is 100%. I believe in it. There is nothing that I've ever said about a fighting frog or a big bite product really that I don't believe in. And you can ask Les from Big Bite.
Yeah.
I pestered the shit out of him for 2 years to get a pro staff deal with Big Bite, and
believed in the bait so much,
a pro staff deal, and it's turned into a really amazing relationship. They're almost like family over there, and I mean, great, dude, the fighting frog, it's done me so well, made me so much money that, like, I don't know what I would use if the fighting frog was never created.
That's, dude,
like, there's just nothing like it.
So I've got some, and I throw it a lot. I like a lot of big bite stuff. They got a new little chatterbait trailer that's freaking stupid good. I don't even really want to say the name of it, but they're selling plenty. I see people posting about it all the time. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic trailer. And dude, I watched you, I guess at the St. John's, catching them on it a couple years ago, and I was like, all right. They got another bait that's my go-to bed bait, one of, that little warmouth, is dirty at times, without dropping too much, I guess. But do you have, I'll ask you this, because the fighting frog obviously just won you 100 Gs. It's your deal. You also use the wacky worm, the trick stick, a little bit, I believe, too. But do you have a sneaky, because we all do, I feel like, a sneaky Drew Cook tough bedfish trick bait that you don't talk about?
Do.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
Actually, Benton just saw it for the first time this past week.
Whoa! Okay.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because, you know, like I know, the ones that are going to bite,
They're going to bite.
Yeah. You throw a damn hot dog in there, they're going to bite it.
Yep.
The ones that are super hot and heavy. But you go to some of these pressured lakes, you go to some that have had the trolling motor in over their head 15 times that day. There's some things. And I think we all have them. But I wanted to ask you that, and I don't – obviously, you're not going to tell, and I don't want you to. But I just had to know, like, the fighting frog's fantastic, but do you got something that's kind of, all right, this is what I pull out when they're acting dumb.
Yeah, and it's not a crawl type bait. It's,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm so intrigued now. I love that, man. Like, that's what makes professional fishing so good. And just fishing in general, everybody feels like they got their secrets and they're keeping them from their buddies, whether you're in a bass club or the dang elite series. But that's so funny to me that Benton, who is a fantastic sight fisherman as well, he won. Was his FLW an all sight fish deal? I can't remember back in the day.
It was all sight fish except for 1 7 pounder. He boat swung in the last 20 minutes on a spinnerbait.
That's right. That's right. I remember that tournament. But Drew kind of came on the scene too, just sight fish. Like he's always. What is it about y'all's area that creates that? Is it Seminole? Because I know that's one of your primary places. Like, because obviously there are lots of places you can see them there. Is it just a good – you guys have several lakes around there that are just good proving grounds to practice that? Because, like, the Tennessee River sucks for it because a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, the lakes that me and Benton grew up around, we get to sight fish from the beginning of January to the middle of May.
Mm-hmm.
So – like that much time doing it, you know, obviously you're going to get good at it. But I mean, and every bass isn't doing it at the same time. Hearing that they all spawn at once. That's the biggest misconception ever.
Yeah. Keep thinking.
And a lot of the Tennessee River people they believe that so much.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And that's not true. We fished the college national championship on Pickwick. Every year I was in college, it was the first week in June, and every year I started that tournament on a bed and fish.
Yep.
Every year.
That's right. Yeah. They, you know, a lot of the big misconception on the Tennessee is, man, they don't bed until that water gets up. They're not going to bed until that water gets up full pool April 15th. They're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Watch Chickamauga in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Don't go, you know, we used to fish a ton of stuff early in the year like that on Wheeler, and Wheeler's like 6 feet low. Dude, you'd be just wrecking them looking at them at mm-hmm. times. When the water was right, like the Tennessee River, unfortunately, special lakes like Pickwick, whatever, like they're in Kentucky, like they're flood zones. It's where they dump all the water. Water fluctuates a ton. So but I always say, you catch one on the Tennessee River, especially like Wheeler, Wilson, Pickwick, you know, the Gunnersville ones are a little different. But you catch one down there, you can catch one anywhere off the bed because them suckers, they get used to them dropping the water off their back. They're always, I mean, wiry as they get, man. But, yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions with it. Are you and I feel like this is like a deep dive on a technique talk. I normally don't even do this, but I'm so intrigued by sight. Like, I'm such a nerd about it. Are you a catch the male, never catch the male guy, or are you a catch the male person?
I'm a never catch
same,
the male
same,
guy.
Same. And here's the thing, though, and I want to ask
unless,
you this, though.
That's not true. That's not true. I just lied to you. I will catch the male if whenever I'm fishing in the bed and, you know, the male's bit 10 times and he's finally starting to swim it way off, if whenever I have the male has my bait in his mouth and he's swimming way off, if that female pulls up there,
yes.
And like,
yeah.
Just, you know, right in the middle of the bed and maybe chases a brim off or whatever, I'll pluck him.
Yeah, no
I'll
doubt.
Pluck him and catch her.
No,
next
no,
flip. But
no doubt.
They have to, she has to have laid her eggs already for her to do that.
Yep.
If she hasn't laid her eggs already, she will leave.
Yep.
She'll get courted by another male and
she's,
you know,
gone.
We say whenever you catch the male, there's a 50% chance of you catching the
female.
And it's really not that great of a chance.
No.
No. It they have to have already laid their eggs to catch the female.
And I think I've actually called Shaw Grigsby out on this because I learned so much from reading magazine articles with him when I was a kid. And every article is, catch the male, get that male out of the way. And I'm like, these decoying son of a guns. Mm-hmm. These decoying son of a guns. Because
and I don't know if you got to see it, but two different times last week, when I didn't have a limit, I threw males back.
Yes.
I threw one male back the first day whenever I had three bass.
Yep.
That was a 4 1/4.
Yep. They had big males in South Carolina. Yeah, big males out there for whatever reason. Murray's the same way. Hartwell's that way too. Never understood it. Big males. But you got to. I got burned in a tournament of BFL. As a matter of fact, when I was like 18 or 19, I had about a 7 or 8 pounder, a Coosa River tournament over on Weiss Lake before power poles. And the only reason I say that is because this fish was at the back of a dock on a walkway between the walkway and the bank. And I ran to her right out of the giddy, and I had to beach my boat because the wind was blowing so hard to keep the back. My co-angler loved me, by the way, because I was 19, first of all, and I did him that way right out of the jump. And I found this fish, and there was a legendary sight fisherman named Craig Daniel from around here, Smith Lake guru. But he can see one anywhere. He'd find one in my kitchen right now. And he had beat me over there the year before. And I'm like, that's not happening this year. Like, I'm going to find every one of my can. That's all I did for 3 days was looking. It was early and most people weren't looking for them. I found this giant and she had a little bitty buck with her. And like I said, young, dumb, didn't know any better. And I sight fished all the time, but I wasn't putting it all together. Well, I beat him to that fish. I got set up on it and I hear a boat idling in the back of the pocket. And it's Craig. I'm like, oh my God. And there's 2 4-pounders behind me. And I started on the big one, and we always called Craig Squeeze, and he said, I'm proud of you, son. I didn't think nobody'd find that one. And I thought, the master. Like, I beat the master to this giant. Well, I flip in there, and she swims off, and I set the hook, and it's the buck. And I put him in the box. And about 10 minutes later, scoop, there she went. She never came back. He said, did you catch her? While he's working on one of the 4-pounders I was planning on catching it. And I said, no, man, I caught the male. And he goes, you done messed that up, Lucas. And that was a life lesson right there, man. And I didn't think in that moment because, dude, you're a kid, you're young, like, well, I should just throw this male back. Well, I boxed it. It's a keeper. I got my first keeper. You know what I mean? Like, I think back on that all the time and laugh because the things that you learn, you know, as you get older, but that was coming off those Bassmaster magazine days, and I blame Shaw Grigsby for that, frankly.
I know exactly what's coming. Yeah. We've all done it.
Yeah,
and I've had some that I would have swore, you know, would have done it and put the male in the box
and
they swim off.
Sometimes they do get weird. I caught one at Lake Hartwell one time, a big one in FLW, that there were 2 females on the bed and 1 male, and he would just not leave my cricket alone. He was not going to. And it was that deal where he swam off and I hate to catch him. And I finally was just like, okay, and he's a 2-pounder. And I think I had like 3 or 4 fish at the time. I catch him, put him in the box. And the biggest one was like 5 1/2. She immediately went up there and I caught her next flip. And there was another one like 4 and it swam off. It wouldn't bite. It never even got back up there at all during the tournament. But you know, it's a 50-50. You're right. That's interesting. Y'all listening to this at home, trust me, this is juicy stuff from Drew Cook, sight fish master, even though he's not going to tell you his secret all the way. Tell me about you and Drew Boys, the cut line here. Let's get some promotion stuff in for all these YouTube folks that watch and listen to Low Budget Live.
Yeah, me and Benton have a YouTube channel called The Cut Line. We film everything, you know, from behind the scenes to the practice to the tournament. And it's going to be really cool, especially now that, you know, one of us won one since we've been doing it, you know, to see in practice or to be able to show, you know, people like in practice what it looked like and everything like that. 'Cause, I mean, I thought I was going to do good, but I, you know, obviously I didn't know I was going to win. And I really didn't know that the one pocket that I had found was that special, but it's a really cool deal to be able to document all that stuff and look back on it. But, yeah, the cut line on YouTube, that's, you know, we there's a lot of good little nuggets in there that a lot of people don't get to see. And I mean, just to see how we practice, like I didn't catch a bass after the first day of practice.
Wow.
Like it was, you know, I was pot committed to what I was doing. The only reason I caught some the first day was because it was 22 degrees.
Wow.
And I was like,
just kind of fishing around and feeling your way around.
Make sure I can get a bite before we, you know, jump ahead of ourselves.
Jumping back real quick. What do you think? Because I watching the weigh-in and you and Caleb and Brandon and several of the guys, y'all did look like you were on another planet. Now there were tons of bigs caught. Don't get me wrong, but why do you think that area was so special? Just a bigger school of fish, or what was making those big ones? Because sometimes in sight fishing tournaments, you know, like I know, you run out of gas. What kept those big ones coming in there? Do you think?
The pocket that and the pocket that I ended up catching most of my fish out of, I had planned on burning it to the ground by 12 o'clock on day two. Like there was not going to be anything left in there. And on day one, you know, I had you know, almost 32 pounds by 11 o'clock. So I got to get on the trolling motor and really start looking. And covered a lot of water and like went deeper in the pocket that I was in and looked and, you know, in the pads, way in the pads, because there was no bass in the pads, like spawning whenever we were in practice. But by day two of the tournament, you know, there was a good bit of a fish had moved up in there. And the pocket that I was fishing is the only pocket, really the only pocket on the lake, the whole lake, that had a channel that went all the way to the back of it that had deep water. And deep water, when I say that, this is Santee Cooper term, deep water. you know, 6 foot of water in the back of the cove was super deep. All the rest of them, you know, were a foot and a half deep, you know, from the mouth of it to the back of it. And I think that's what was key. And it had some grass out in the middle of it that helped them, you know, they were already sitting on that grass when that 22 degree weather came. And then they just followed that little channel all the way to the back and it just kept reloading. It was unbelievable. And the final day, you know, I ended up leaving that pocket, but I didn't go far. I just went right around the corner and dude, I think I saw 11 of them that were over 7 pounds. You know, hour and a half, but they weren't on bed. I found one on bed and I caught her, but they were getting ready to, like, the next day would have been epic. Unbelievable there, you know.
Ugh, goodness gracious. Such a special fishery, man. A lot like Seminole where you're at down there, just a lot of big fish and certainly certainly fun at the right times, right? Like Santee will leave you, y'all were there in the fall, it'll leave you scratching your head at times, but man, if you can all those stars line up, you can have a week like you did, dude. And I'm proud for you. I text you that, dude. I really pull for the good guys. You're one of them, and I want to say congrats, and I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, Luke, and it was definitely a week I'll never forget, that's for sure.
No doubt about it.
You know, we can say long time coming. It hasn't been that long, but it.
I was going to say, now, wait a second. I was going to say, not too long coming. It's not too long coming now, 2019. Come on now. But it's awesome, man. I was smiling ear to ear whenever you caught that 7 pounds. I was like, all right, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was a clutch fish catch for sure. Yeah. And dude, I mean, and you're the same way. I know whenever you were younger, you know, you rehearsed your winning speech, your classic speech,
yeah.
You know, whatever. man, I got up on that stage, and when Mercer said that, you know, my weight, it was gone. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, just emotions then. Yeah.
To say it was just a really cool, yeah, really cool deal. And for, you know, I would have much rather had, you know, slammed the door on it, but it was a very stressful, emotional day.
I can imagine, man. And I think that's what's going to make that tournament go down in the history books, is one that people remember for a very long time, just because of the drama on the last day and all the big weights all week. Like, man, it was anybody's ball game, even though you never turned loose of it from day one. But, dude, there were some people, they were shooting at you every single day, man. And it was a fun week to keep up with. And I'm glad you came out on top.
I am too. I'm glad it all worked out. It was a big deal for me and the whole family, really.
No doubt. No doubt. The baby pattern prevails again.
That's right.
The baby pattern. I love it, man. Well, Drew, good luck at Chick. And you're not fishing the Open at Cherokee next week, are you?
Yep.
I forgot. We talked at Toho that second morning. I'll see you. I'm leaving in the morning. I will see you over there.
Sounds good. All right, buddy. Y'all have a good one, and drive safe, and I'll see you in a few days.
All right. See you, Drew. Thanks, man. Drew Cook right there, everybody. He is a classy dude, class act, and I'm sorry if I nerded out on sight fishing. There's nothing on planet Earth in the fishing world that makes me as happy as sight fishing. And you get the people on social media, it's like, I hate these sight fish tournaments. But the same people always say, I hate these smallmouth tournaments. And then they say, I hate these live scoping tournaments. I hate tournaments. I hate being entertained and learning. It always cracks me up, but people are like, it don't take any skill to catch a fish on the bed. Okay. I hear you, Billy. I hear you. Get out there and catch them shoulder to shoulder with Drew Cook and call me after you're done. Call me after you're done. All right, so we're going to go from a guy that caught him at Santee to another guy that caught him at Santee, and he catches him everywhere he goes. And he's at Red Crest right now, but he got his butt kicked yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, we're fixing to get it. A Cox Watch.
Hey, man.
John Boy.
How are you?
I've got these really killer sound effects for the Cox Watch now, and I don't think you can hear them on your end, but I'm doing them right now, and they're incredible. Can you hear them?
Yeah, I can hear them.
Okay, well, I had a guest the other day that said they couldn't hear them, so hang on one more time. Cox Watch!
That's perfect.
If you don't make somebody follow you around with that in like a 7-Eleven, like, Cox Watch, you just bought a Slurpee. Like, or Cox Watch, you just got some Max Scent Generals. Because I get tagged with your hashtag Cox Watch all the time that I just said being funny, but it's a thing now, buddy. So I was calling you to bug you for a real life Cox Watch update, because I'm worried about you because you didn't catch a bass yesterday.
I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, it was one of those days you hope you never have, even in a practice or just a fun fishing day, you know. And I had it in one of the biggest tournaments of the year, so it was rough.
When you we have those, you're like, why do I bass fish? This is terrible. This is not fun. This is not fun about this sport.
It was funny that the way I was thinking the same as everybody else that did really bad, because we were all like jumping around the same spots.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and being able to know, it was like, oh, there's Andy Morgan. He's always catching them. What has he got? Oh, no, he's got 0-2. Okay. Okay, you're in the wrong part.
Maybe we should move. Maybe we should move.
Yeah.
And you've had some success at Grand, but, man, I want to say I haven't got to talk to you since right before the season started when I had you and Keith on, and mm-hmm. We've texted a couple times. But, dude, you're on another roll, leading Bassmaster Angler of the Year. And in the back of my mind, for some reason, I never put together red crest. Like, I was not thinking, because I was like, oh, he's not fishing BPT this year, but you qualified last year. And when you said, yeah, I got to go to red crest, or the first day of practice at red crest, I didn't even realize that you had to go from freaking Sandy to damn Tulsa.
So
did you show up for day, like, you just got there before day one, right?
Yeah, we got there the night of the meeting, and
okay,
man, I'm telling you, that 15-hour drive turned into like a 20-something hour drive.
Oh, no.
The wife went with me, and she's like, all right, you go ahead and drive, you know, this tank out. And I didn't make it like 30 minutes, and I pulled over at a gas station and passed out for a while.
Jeez,
it took us a while to get here, but.
And you're coming off of several sight fishing tournaments and Florida tournaments and all that, and then you get out there and you got to break out your damn snowmobile suit again.
I know.
Day one.
It was like one extreme to the next, you know, and then I just wasn't in the right mindset for this one. That's for sure.
I was gonna say you don't, and you're not a guy that gets stressed. I don't feel like, at least you don't show it. And when you got there and the weather's bad and you've been doing one thing. I mean, how do you mentally approach that? Like, when you got to just put the boat in the water, no practice, go fish against some of the best in the world. Like,
yeah.
How do you approach it? Like, how do you decide where you're going to make your first cast, I guess?
Well, I decided, because when we were here last time, I had a shot to win and I caught him
on
the
tour
spot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going straight there. And it was rough, and it took me like an hour or so to get there. And then when I got there, you know, half of our field was there. Oh, no.
Word got out. They had watched.
Yeah, I texted Ron and Kyle and all them, and I told them, I said, you guys covered it way too good.
No doubt.
But that spot, it was trash, and there's too many of us.
So it wasn't good. You know, did anybody make the cut out of there?
I don't know. I know when I got there, a couple guys already had some fish, because it took me forever to get down there because I was not getting wet. I was like,
I'll be done if I get wet in this cold water.
Yeah. So I got down there and a couple guys had some fish, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then everybody left and I didn't catch any. And then it was so disappointing because I found them at the end of the day, and I caught a five something with 20 seconds to go, you know, on my Fritz side, had him snagged in the back of the head. It was all full panic, got him over the side of the boat. But I caught another one right there in that same cast. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is where they're staging up. And, man, when I got back to the ramp, I was like, another world. I was pumped. I was like, man, I'm going to jack them tomorrow, you know? And I must've been talking too much about how much I was going to jack them, because I went out the next day, had like five guys following me. Spectators, and they're like, they're ready for the, you know, the beat down.
The Cox watch. They were Cox watching. Yeah.
And I didn't catch anything.
And they were like, I want my money back. This is bull crap. I follow this guy around. He's this cornrow having phenom. He didn't catch shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were probably all saying.
Oh, dude, no. I'm sure they enjoyed it regardless, man. They probably learned some stuff. But I gotta tell you, thank you. Your lovely bride ran me down at the Classic. She goes, Luke, John said to give you this shirt. I wore it on the podcast a couple weeks ago. It's the most fantastic thing. Yeah. I gotta figure out a way. I'm gonna frame it and hang it in the bar and grill. It's gotta go up in the bar and grill forever.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's going on the wall. My buddy Chris Mitchell at Bass sent me a picture of somebody wearing it at the show, and he goes, this is real life. Oh, my God. And then I sent him a picture of me wearing it, and I said, yeah, buddy, and I got one. He's like, seriously? And then I think he said, you got him one at some point. He's a proud owner of the cornrow shirt.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Your crew was walking around wearing them, man. I was so so pumped to get to talk to the family there. So fast forward Red Crest, you got to shake it off. You're going to go to the expo, do that thing.
Yeah.
Then there's a lake. I'm trying to think of the name of it. you're leading in this tournament trail called the Bassmaster Elite Series, and their next tournament's Chickamauga, Coxamauga. So are you looking forward to that at all, Johnny?
I am, and you know, when I wasn't catching any, you know, I always, when I'm in a tournament, I got one, you know, the very next week or coming up, I always try to do something in that tournament before that's kind of prepare me for that one. And it was funny. I was out here and I started trolling around. I'm like, that's a bed right there. I swear that's a bed. You know, like it was, even though the water is like 40 something degrees and it was, I should have never been in any of those pockets. But yeah, so I'm thrilled. I can't wait to get to that one. And I think we're going to drive from here, leave the truck and boat there, fly home for a couple of days and then come back. And
okay.
Man, that whole next group of them, I think it's like Chick, Pickwick,
Gunnersville.
Yeah,
you're gonna be around the house.
Maybe some Fork in there. Yeah, like I mean, we're all right. I mean, it's
fixing to get fun.
Yeah, that'll be great.
When you're around for Pickwick, I think I'm at MPFL.
I'm around for Pickwick twice though. So
oh, that's right. Well, I gotta get you guys up to the house and we gotta do an LBL, but have a Cox Watch awesome. Party here at the Duncan Manor.
Yeah.
We gotta do that. We say it all the time. We gotta do it. You're gonna be around too.
No, we'll do it this sure. Go. Yeah.
Get you guys up here. All right, buddy. Well, I just wanted to pick your brain and get a Cox Watch, baby. Cox Watch. You're welcome for that, by the way.
Oh, man, I like that.
Hey, Cox Watch in full effect, Category 5 Cox Watch. That's what we got right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to go to a Cox warning. It goes from a watch to a warning, a chick, baby. Cox warning.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, John, have fun, buddy. I appreciate you letting me bug you. And is there anything you want to say about, like, how bad you hate Keith or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know. Keith are going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. We don't have it figured out yet, but we're going to figure it out.
I had that on my list before you go.
I mean,
it seems like, okay, outside looking in, it's not working yet.
Yeah, no. It's not working yet.
It's not working yet.
And we're trying, but it's like, you know, Keith's always like, oh, it's so bad. And I'm like, well, here, you go here then, or here, you have this. And, you know, and it's like, and, you know, and then I find myself, I'm like, you know, I don't know. So it's been tough.
But now
you
both gotten checks at the first two.
Yeah, I know. And that was the goal, you know. It's like,
yeah, get paid up.
You know, it's like, yeah, just get checks and you know, if one of us has a shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this last one, you know, we're going and I got like 7 fish on the beds and, you know, me and Keith are going to go split them up. And we get halfway there. We're in idle zone. And he's like, I think I'm going to start offshore at a Carolina rig. I'm like, what?
He said, what?
I'm like,
You didn't bring a game up in the plan.
Like, I was like, you even have one tied on?
You have enough line like, for that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, what? It's like, I don't know. It's just,
I think I'm going to start like, offshore. Things that yeah, Keith Carson's like, not hey, supposed to say in life.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? Did you practice out there? Like, I was just so confused.
So it's not working yet, but you're going to figure it out. It works when y'all are in the boat together, but not competing against each other.
Well, I mean, it's crazy. We make the same moves at the same time, and it's just annoying. Like, we get into the one spot at the same time. I'm catching him going towards him. He's coming towards me. And I'm like, dude, you got enough. You know, let me get it. Let me get the rest. He's like, okay.
Please tell me, have you guys had arguments like friendly fire brother? Like, what the hell, dude? Get your chatterbait out of here.
Yeah, we were in the same spot, and he already had 15. I'm like, dude, you're getting a check. You're good. I was like, let me get some space. And he's like, well, I'll troll, and if I see a good one, I'll yell to you and be like, right here. And I'm like, okay. But he didn't tell me he was going to be flipping the whole time, too. And he was like, jacking him coming towards me.
It's my favorite thing that's ever been said on this podcast because I love both of you so much. And I can imagine how those conversations go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God bless them. That's awesome,
we'll
buddy. All right. Well, go, as my dad used to say, shake hands and kiss babies, but he used to say kiss hands and shake babies. So go do that at Red Crest.
All right, thanks.
All right, hey, tell Jim Wilburn I said sup, dog.
All right,
All right, see you, buddy. John Cox, ladies and gentlemen. John Cox, there. Recording this a couple days early. I think this is the first day of the Red Crest Expo. So he's going out there. They got 10 guys fishing today and then 10 tomorrow, and then the top 5 from each will go to the top 10 for Sunday to see who's going to win. I finally got the details on the format because it's a little different than what they normally do and all that good stuff. So Red Crest will be interesting, man. I'm anxious to see. I've talked about the last couple of weeks. I'm anxious to see if they get a crowd at the expo, and I think that they will. for sure. You know, will it be the classic? Nah. But, you know, a lot of industry support out there at it, and a lot of booths, and I've had several people tell me they're going. So it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting, especially 2 weeks after the classic. See how this plays out date-wise, how they lay out. So I would have gone had I not. I roll out tomorrow for Cherokee, so couldn't pull that off. Wasn't going to miss Cherokee practice for Red Crest. But I will say somebody that is, Zach Burge, who's way up there in those Southern Open points, he is missing practice at Cherokee the second Red Crest is done. Of course, if he wins 300 Gs, he's probably not going to be too upset about it. Probably not going to be too upset about it. I want to say one thing really quick. Something that I got sent to me that I just find hilarious because and I talk about it, I try not to spend too much time on this ever, but the ridiculous amount of like these meme pages and just these total human, like just cockroaches that hide behind their keyboards and have probably never amount to anything in life. And even if they do, if that's what you do, like you're just pathetic. But they made it. Somebody sent me this post that was made about Red Crest and a Scott Suggs post, like taking shots at Suggs, like who's this guy? And apparently there were some funny comments like, yeah, well, he's the guy that won $1 million in one bass tournament one time. Like, and Suggs is a dear friend of mine. And I just found that hilarious. Like, he's one of the most successful people in life that I know, has won a lot of money, fantastic angler. And it's like, I'm going to sit here in mom's basement and I'm going to make a funny. Like, what? It's so stupid. And I'm sure they'll make a cute meme of me now that they did that. And I don't care because I don't look at any of their BS. Other than when it gets sent to me sometimes, I'm like, yeah, okay. But it's funny. It's funny to me. I was just like, really? You're going to hate on a dude that's won, like, a lot of money bass fishing? Really? Bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. All right. Fixing to get out of here with some Biloxi Blues. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for showing up each and every week. I appreciate each and every one of you. Got more hats coming very, very soon. All the baits Drew Cook mentioned there, those big bite baits, you can get them at Baitworks. I'm just saying. If you got some sight fishing coming up, some flipping coming up, Duncan-10 gets you some of them baits he was talking about because they're legit. I just ordered some myself to take to Cherokee, to be honest. It's probably not going to be a bedfish deal there, but still, like, pitching around, I think that it's something I want to spend a little more time with, that's for sure. Take you out with some Biloxi Blues. Be sure to hug your mama. And I will see y'all next week.
Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there. Yeah.
In wild country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Through the Blackwater bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest. Me and the Duck Camp Dinner's crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.